Be before you. I'm very thankful for the invitation of the elders to be with you. It's my first time being here among you. Obviously, if you've been here for a while, you know that. But I've thought about you a lot over the years because I've been in contact with Leon ever since I began preaching and went to Connecticut. I used to worship at Embry Hills in Atlanta. That's where I was converted, and I didn't grow up as a Christian. But I went to start preaching in Connecticut and remained in contact. I think Leon had been there several times in Wallingford, Connecticut, and then we stayed in touch when I had the pleasure and opportunity to go and help start a new work in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then recently, about a year and a half ago, I moved back to Alabama, where I'm from, Marion County, to help take care of my mother and my grandfather after the death of my father. And so I'm thankful to be back in Alabama. It feels like home. But I will say, I don't really feel like I, you know, people, when I come back, they say, what happened to your voice? That maybe I lost some of my southern accent. But up there, they would say, well, what happened to your voice? Because I grew up in the South. And so we are helping to start a new work or reestablish an old one. There, for many years, there was a work in Hamilton, Alabama that had disbanded a couple years ago. And thankfully, we have an opportunity to go back and to redig the old wells, you know, as you might say, to try to get something started there. Now that the interstate is completed, I-22 from Memphis to Birmingham, there's a lot of interest in Hamilton and development there, businesses and things coming in. And so we're restarting a new work there. And I would appreciate your prayers as we do that. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint presentation for you this evening. I thought it might be, I should have brought one if I had known you'd had this set up. Such a wonderful meeting space you have here. But as you're turning there, I'd just like to introduce the lesson like this. I think we can all agree that we are living in uncertain times where we just seem to be surrounded by immorality and injustice. And I don't mean that in a buzzword sort of way. We see a lot about, you know, social justice in the media. What I'm talking about is things that are good being called evil, and things that are evil now are good. And if you go and say God's word, what God says, you're considered downright dangerous. And so we may ask ourselves sometimes, how did our nation get in this condition? And why does God continue to allow this to happen? How can he tolerate all the violence, the lawlessness, the sexual immorality, the corruption at every level of government, the lawlessness in both business, both the public sphere and the private sphere? And if you wonder that, you may relate to Habakkuk and his message. Habakkuk is unique among the prophets in that he's not accusing God's people of sin. You know, the prophets, I'm sure you understand this, that the prophets of God would be prosecutors of the law. A good reading strategy you may have heard of reading the prophets is to find out what they're doing, accusing God's people of violating the covenant made with them at Mount Sinai, but then giving them hope for the future, messianic hope. And so when we're reading the prophets, we often see what is God's people being accused of, and also what is the hope for the future so that they might do better. But Habakkuk is different in the fact that it records his own struggle with wrestling with his current situation and the times in which he lives, and trying to understand why God doesn't seem to care, why doesn't God seem to be doing anything about the situation around him. Habakkuk lived in the 7th century B.C., during the reigns of King Josiah and Jehoiakim. And I'm sure that he mourned the loss of that first king, Josiah, because he was generally a good king. And then as he's seen the wicked king come to power and the decline of the country, that would have been tough for him. He would have experienced the Babylonian occupation and the first wave of exiles taken to Babylon, which included Daniel, who would later become a prophet. And he lived during a time of great turmoil and uncertainty, which many of us can relate to. And he was wrestling with this situation in light of God's promises for his people. In fact, Habakkuk His name itself, which, as I understand it, Leon may be able to correct me after the lesson, it doesn't seem to be a Hebrew name, but many people have thought that this name means to embrace or to wrestle. I was talking the other day to one of my children about this name, and they said, that's two different things, to embrace or wrestle. And I said, well, have you ever wrestled someone without trying to get close to them? And it's just not possible. And maybe there is a play on words here. Now, the more I study the Old Testament, the more I find it interesting that these names and the meanings behind them often are associated with the message or something about their life. And if we study the prophets and look at the names and the meanings of them, I'm often interested that it has something to do with their message. Now, some of them are more clear than others. We may not be able to associate everyone, or I haven't yet. But what Habakkuk is doing, and the reason this is helpful, it helps us remember what the content of the book is. I think that was all in God's plan. But Habakkuk is wrestling with the spiritual decline of the nation. He's wrestling with why God doesn't seem to be doing anything about it. He's also wrestling with how God could use an unholy people like Babylon to come and discipline Israel. But in the end, he chooses to embrace the Lord's will. And we'll see this as we work through the book. And the point of this lesson is just to leave you with an overview of Habakkuk and maybe an encouraging application to our own times. So chapter 1, if we want to divide this book up neatly, in chapter 1, it's really with, the idea is, it's and the application I want to bring from this is this. It's okay to wrestle with tough questions. We're going to have tough questions, and it's okay to wrestle with those questions. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are they that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceeds. Notice some words here. Violence, and your translation may render this differently, but we see violence, iniquity, strife, contention, lawlessness, injustice. And while Habakkuk is praying that God would do something, verse 2, God doesn't seem to be listening. He doesn't seem to be listening. Perhaps some of us can relate to that, where we're praying and God doesn't seem to be listening to our prayers. He's left wondering why God is silent. Why does God not care? And I'm sure as we watch the news, watch the current events, we may wonder this as well. I'll just say this for the benefit of the young people. You ever notice how older people like to talk about how the nation's always going downhill? When I was young, I used to remember the older people saying this as well. But just wait until you get a little older, and then you'll start saying the same thing. I'm sure the older people can relate to that. The older we get, the more we see the steady decline, the more experience we have to see the changes in our own nation. So as Habakkuk is watching the things around him, he doesn't understand what's happening. Now remember that Israel's problems were caused by the people and their rebellion against God. They would not obey God's laws, his word. They broken his covenant. And as we know, there was curses and blessings associated with the covenant. And what they did is they ignored God's word, they twisted it, and that's why justice was lacking. The same is true today. The more a nation abandons God's laws, the more justice is going to become perverted. Now, have you ever noticed, I'm sure we all noticed this, I hope we have, that when we talk about matters of justice, people can't seem to agree on what that exactly is. Everyone wants more justice, but we just can't seem to agree on a standard. Everybody wants to impose their own standard of morality. And that's why we need God's word. We need an objective standard, which is what God's word provides. In verse 4, as this indicates, when the majority of people in the land are wicked and rebellious against God, you're never going to have true justice. Immoral people don't know what justice is. They don't know what it looks like. And they're hostile to God's standard. You know why? Because that actually accuses them. And no one wants to be accused of doing something wrong. So Habakkuk is left wondering why God's not